Hi, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680, with our philosopher as we catch up again. Boy, these weeks go quickly, don't they, George Katos?
Yeah, they're going by very, very quickly. It's almost like you blink your eye, you're already at the trade deadline almost. So the season's gone by pretty quick.
Yeah, all right, let's talk about that. That's actually the first subject. You're a ball player. You're a player at a certain stage of your career. People look at you. You've been in the big leagues for a while. You've been a World Series champion. You're a relief pitcher. Relief pitching is so important in baseball. It's that time of year as a baseball player. How do you deal with it? Because all we do is talk. And, you know, you're an internet guy. What do you think?
You know, there's always a lot of speculation right around this time of year. And, you know, I think all that you can do in a situation like this, when your name may come up in trade talks, is just go out there and you still have your job to do. You still have to go out there and execute your pitches and, you know, pitch as well as you can for yourself and for the team that you're playing for. And, you know, for other guys, it's a lot more imminent than others, I think. It's one of those things where Nooney, for example, his name's been being tossed around quite a bit, and you just got to come in and realize that you have a game to play and try and put the blinders on and go about doing your business. And you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You can't really fret about it. So go out there and try and take it at bat by at bat or pitch by pitch if you're a pitcher. And, you know, what's going to happen is ultimately going to work itself out.
How do you keep up on the information? Do you have a way to do that, or are you just like me and everybody else? We read Alex Pavlovich.
You know, I try really not to keep up on that information. It's, you know, my job is to come out here every day whenever I'm called upon and pitch for the San Francisco Giants and get those outs. So if something were to happen, you know, I was almost traded many, many years ago from the Yankees to the Pirates in the trade with that sent Phil Koch and Daniel McCutcheon and a few other good Jeff Carstens. They were all going over to the Pirates, and I was initially in that trade, and I had a beat writer come up to me in the stands as I was charting Double A, being like, "Hey, you just got traded to the Pirates." So after that whole, and I ended up not getting traded. Actually, they pulled a couple other players, and myself and Phil Koch ended up not going. But after that, I just, you know, until somebody officially tells me that I have to go somewhere else, like when I was told I was coming here to the Giants, you just take it day by day and you keep going out there and doing your job, and eventually it all passes by.
It's a compliment, though, to be wanted, I would think.
Of course. You know, you always want somebody to want you. If somebody is going to, you know, give up some of their players to trade for you to help make their major league roster better, you know, it's always it's a double-edged sword. You know, a lot of people like where they're at, and, you know, they don't want to go to other places, but you can always go to a, you know, a team who has the potential to, you know, go deep in the playoffs or win a World Series. So it's just that time of year where all these things start getting thrown around, and all you can do is go out there every day and just play the same baseball you've been playing.
All right. Well, the scouts are in the stand looking every night. So, especially when you have a team that's not winning, other teams say, well, we'll like that guy. We'd like that guy. And you have to listen because you have to improve the team. That's the whole deal. You want to improve the team.
Yeah. You know, of course. It's in my time here, being a San Francisco Giant, we've you know, had a lot of success, but we have had those couple years in between where we've been not necessarily in this situation, but we haven't been in a position to make the playoffs. And, you know, from what I've seen here is we're not typically big time sellers. There's not really a typical rebuild type of stage where you just clean house. You know, you may get rid of a couple pieces or you may trade a couple guys here and there, but, you know, I think the core of this team is still very, very strong, and we're able to do some really, really good things even into the future. So even though this year hasn't quite gone the way we've liked it to so far, I think next year and even in the years after that, we still have a good core group of guys that can win some ball games and go deep into the playoffs for years to come.
Well, we see it here at AT&T Park. I always say, if you got to win 50 games here, you got to have a team that's built to win here, which takes pitching, solid starting pitching, first five in ERA kind of pitching in the league, solid bullpen with you guys from the sixth, seventh inning on, and then you have to catch the ball. And, you know, a lot of things don't show up in the box score in catching the ball, but as a ball player, we see it. As a broadcaster, you see it as a ball player. Those things that don't show up in the box score, not turning the double play, things like that.
Yeah, you know, of course, this game's a game of inches, and, you know, all you see is, you know, a pitcher or a reliever or somebody who may have a strikeout or may have an 0 for 4 or a reliever who gives up a run, but, you know, it could have been a, you know, 7-hopper through the infield that didn't quite get made, or, you know, you could hit 3 line drives and a couple guys make great plays on you in the outfield, and then you're left for an 0 for 4, and, you know, to the average fan, all you see is the 0 for 4 or the giving up the run and your ERA goes up. But, yeah, there's a lot more in-depth stuff that goes into these games. And, you know, I think baseball evaluators definitely see that stuff and take that stuff into account.
How did you find out about your trade when you were traded here? Now, that came at the end of spring training. Did you know at that point? Was there speculation then?
I had no idea, to be honest with you. It was the last day of spring training, and it was David Phelps, who is now with Miami, or just may have just gotten traded to Seattle. He and I were the last two guys that had not been sent down yet, and it was the last day of spring training, and I got called in after the game, and I was assuming they were going to tell me that, you know, I had made the team. I had had a great September. In 2011, I had pitched really well, and Joe Girardi, Brian Cashman, and they were all in the room, and they said, George, you know, we've traded to the Giants for Chris Stewart, who actually was my catcher with the Yankees in 2009. So that caught me very much off guard, and I thought I was going to be told, congratulations, you made the team. But they said, congratulations, we've shipped you to the West Coast. And initially I didn't know what to think about it, and nobody really likes change. I had spent my whole career with the Yankees up to that point, and so I was a little bit, you know, in unfamiliar territory with what was going to happen, but it ended up being the best thing that could have happened in my career. I've been here now for 6 years, two rings, some great memories, and continuing to make them and having a great time being a part of the San Francisco Giants now. So it could have not worked out any better for me.
Yeah, I guess if they call you in and there's Cashman, Girardi, and your parents, it could be trouble.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So what do you think about San Francisco? Had you been here before? Had you been out to what we call the West Coast?
I had never been to San Francisco in my life before the trade, and I had only been in the whole state of California for a total of probably 7 days on a college spring training trip that we went out to L.A. and we played a couple of teams out there. But I had never been here, and now it's turned into my second home. I love the West Coast. I'm a much bigger fan of the West Coast over the East Coast. So, you know, it's definitely... It doesn't always work out like that for a lot of people in trades, but for me, it really has worked out about as best as it could.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to live. Anytime you fly in here, you like it. It's good coming home. I was at an event the other night, and you were singing. Is this part of the... I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, we have a good buddy of mine who is also very good friends with Rob and Trina Dean. He comes and he plays all of our events, whether it's Jeremy's charity event that we had at 21st Amendment or the annual Dean Barbecue. His name's Kelly James, and he always calls me up, and we sing Red Hot Chili Peppers Under the Bridge, and we do it together. So he and I have become very, very good friends since 2012 when Barry Zito introduced us. So I've met a lot of lifelong friends being out here as well, and some karaokeing from now and then comes into play as well.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I love baseball history. I'm going to George Contos, even though a Northwestern guy, I'm going to give him some baseball history. I'd say about 1890 to about 1920, baseball was entertainment, and when baseball wasn't entertaining people, vaudeville was, and all the acts, they'd have seven or eight acts in vaudeville, and the baseball players were part of vaudeville. The managers, John McGraw, Christy Mathewson, the great pitcher, just a comparison, it'd be like having Bruce Bochy sing or Bruce Bochy tell jokes,
right,
or having Bumgarner get on the stage. So it's part of baseball, and it's a funny thing just talking about it. You're a performer. You're an entertainer, so I'm sure, do you get nervous becoming a singer? I mean, you pitch in front of thousands of people in a playoff.
Yeah, you know, the pitching stuff, I still get, you know, the anxious nerves when my name's being called to go to the bullpen or when I'm on the bullpen mound warming up. But whenever I get onto the game mound, everything seems calm and normal again because I've been out there so many times, you know, thousands of times I've taken the mound and pitched, and I feel very comfortable when I'm on the mound and I know what I need to do. When you get on stage and sing, it's a whole different animal. I feel like I'm able to maybe hold a note a little bit. I'm not sure I sound that great, but I can hold the right notes and karaoke the right songs if I have some help. But it's a lot of fun. I don't really get nervous. It's just in front of my peers and people who don't really expect me to be that great. You can have fun with it and just enjoy yourself and have everybody get a laugh or two off you.
Did you ever do any singing anywhere else? I know this is fun out here in karaoke. What about in college and stuff like that?
No, not really. I sang when I was younger. I sang in the church choir, and my mom actually got me a few voice lessons when I was much, much younger. So, I dabbled a little bit back then, but I don't know if that really has anything to do with myself going up and singing some Red Hot Chili Peppers now.
All right, well, whatever. This is good background information. When they see you on the mound, they'll think of that.
Yeah.
George Contos, our philosopher, with us. What do you think about it looks like it's a done deal, Sandoval coming back?
You know, a few people have asked me about that, and, you know, Pablo has been a big factor in bringing three world championships to San Francisco. So regardless of how he left and went to Boston and whatever might have been said, whatever feelings might have been either way back then, you know, he is a big reason why I have two rings at home. And he, in my opinion, is always welcome in this clubhouse. And as long as he comes to play, which he always has, he's always been a gamer, he's always come and taken the field and played hard, he's always welcome here, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's part of baseball, and of course, you know, it's part of the talking sport of baseball. Coming back, what does he look like? What's it like? But as a teammate, when he used to get to the plate, you watched.
Of course, you know, one of the biggest things that I remember of him, you know, other than maybe the three home run game in the World Series, was we Jordan Zimmerman in the NLDS in that 18 inning game. He had gone 8 shutout innings, and Williams decided to take him out for Drew Storen, and Buster was on first base, and Pablo came up and hit a double down the left field line to tie the game. And I remember that. And he's always had a knack. He's always had a knack for doing something at the right time. He was able to slow the game down in clutch situations and come up with that big hit or do what he needed to do to get the runner in or runner over. And, you know, Pablo's always had that knack. He's always been that kind of game-changing type of player. So, you know, when I think of him, those are the things that I think about. And he's a guy who has always done that.
Well, great, Georgie. Great to have you with us. That's a good memory. That's one to think about. George, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Marty.
All right, more coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.